Hey folks, and welcome to another episode of Podcraft. This is a show all about podcasting, from launching a show to monetizing and everything in between. I'm Colin Gray, and as always, joined by Matthew McLean. How are you doing, Matthew?
Good day, sir.
Good day. Very nice outside, but absolutely Baltic.
Yeah, it's so far the time of recording, we're in the winter, we're just moving into December, and it's been cold and fresh. Not the worst, because it could be potential rain every day. So.
But our paper thin office is not insulating us from the elements.
It's not warm in here, is it?
We're in a very old mill building, and it's the windows are basically porous. They might as well just have no glass with all the gaps that are around the window frames.
Need to check if the restoration tools in Adobe Edition take out shivering noises. Is there a plugin for that?
I'm sure there is. And if you were highly producing a podcast, you would probably use such a plugin, wouldn't you?
Which is a good segue.
This season is all about highly produced podcasting, which basically means putting a bit more effort into your show, a really polished show, anything from the likes of a documentary style show like Serial or Startup Podcast by Gimlet, or even just putting a bit of extra effort into your interviews or your co-hosted shows to make them sound a bit more polished, even just adding a few effects, a bit of music, cutting up a little bit, that type of stuff. That's what a highly produced podcast is for us. We're on episode 5 now. We're on to interviews, aren't we? So how to do interviews for this type of show? Because it differs a bit, doesn't it, from, you know, a standard podcast interview?
Yeah, especially if you're going to be cutting things up, moving them about, structuring them. So if you're just, like if I was just coming to interview you, we could have a conversation. And obviously I would have aims in my mind of where I wanted the conversation to go and the things that I would want to get out of it. But I would arguably have a bit more freedom than if I was creating multiple episodes and following a kind of narrative. You know, there'd be very specific things that I wanted to get from those interviews.
Yeah. I mean, what's the basic interview structure is that you phone somebody up on Skype, don't you? You start talking to them. You ask the same 5 to 10 questions. How did you get started? And then that's basically it. You don't cut it up. So you have to kind of structure it within the interview. But the benefit you have when you're doing a highly produced podcast is that you can actually do a lot more prep. You can do a lot more structuring within the show, can't you? You don't have to have it in order. You can think, oh, actually, it'd be quite good to go back and get a section that covers this because something else came up that ties into the narrative from earlier. But it's, I suppose a lot of it's about the prep, isn't it? About how to come into these interviews because, well, from our experience, you can end up spending a lot of time processing the content you get, can't you?
Yeah, I mean, we kind of talked about this already and how you process your interviews and you know, getting them transcribed, cutting up clips, highlighting stuff. But it's making it easy for yourself if you go in there and you're quite focused about it and you know the sort of things you want to pull out. So like there's an argument that, you should be prepared to take a deep dive into a conversation and there might be tangents that you could follow up on. But at the same time, you don't want to sit down to produce your season with, like, you know, 25 hours of source material and it's just going to be a logistical nightmare for yourself.
It can be days and days and days of processing that, can't it? Like the example that we always go back to is when we produced UK Business Startup 2 years ago now. Was that 2015?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, that was a while back now. And we went into that. That was probably one of the first highly produced documentary style ones we did, wasn't it? Really, it was the first time we'd gone that deep into it. And you just went and basically talked to how many? 7 or 8 or 9 people?
Yeah, about 7 or 8.
Yeah. And just explored it, just asked them a range of questions, went off on tangents. And we didn't even know what the episodes would be, really, did we? We hadn't planned out that well in that sense. And it was, basically, we had to come back. We talked about this previously, had to transcribe it all, pick out the themes, try and create a narrative. But what we're suggesting now is that you should go into these. And what we do these days is you go into your interview with your narrative in mind already. I feel like it's almost like you know what you would like. So if you were doing the show yourself, you know your 8 episodes, say, you know your topics you want to cover to do it justice, to teach people in a good way, because you're going to be covering something that you know probably. So you know what you would do. And really the purpose of the interviews is to confirm what you know, is to get sort of external validation. It's external people given their credibility and their particular tips around these things, I suppose. So you kind of know what you want to ask them, you know almost what you want them to say, and you're just asking the right questions to get them to say it. It's not always that the case for that, obviously, but that's one way of doing a highly produced show, isn't it?
Yeah, just knowing like those sound bites, if you like, that you can kind of pull in your episodes.
Yeah, and it's during the interview not being afraid to actually say, right, stop. We'll stop here. I really liked that, but you talked about that for 5 minutes or so. There was one thing you said in there, which was, so you mentioned the fact that on Titan, the moon of Saturn, that there's these things called cryovolcanoes. And you mentioned this phrase, which was like electric snow or something like that. I want you to just, can you just describe what that means again? I know you said it already, but I want to try and get it in a really concise, nice little way. And you just had this phrase and you can repeat it back to them, something that you really liked, and get them to expand on that.
Yeah, and the chances are you're going to be taking yourself out of it too. So you're going to need like well-rounded answers rather than, you know, you prompting them and them responding to you all the time, because that's not going to be just so easy to put in there and make it sound okay.
Yeah. And I mean, you can be writing yourself. It's worthwhile keeping a track of this stuff. So have a notepad in front of you and write down the time code and say, at time code, blah, blah, blah. This is a code, a quote, a section that I want to use for this or that, and write it down. Because that's the time consuming bit, isn't it? That's the downside of audio, is that you can't skim.
Yeah.
You can't just like have 20 pages of text and just skim through the headers. You've got to listen to the damn thing. So having those, that kind of log of what you're doing, I think is a big thing. Although we tend to transcribe stuff anyway, don't we? So we can end up skimming. Mm-hmm. But that can be kind of costly. But yeah, I mean, I suppose we're saying that as if that is when you do know the subject, isn't it? But a lot of people create a highly produced podcast where they are exploring stuff. Is there any sort of particular ways they can go about that, do you think?
I guess that might like turn things on its head, and you know, you would be going into it, doing the interviews and then building the narrative around that. Whereas like we're kind of talking about, you've got your structure in your narrative and you need to fill the gaps with the guest contributions.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose if you're doing the exploration, so it's a subject you know nothing about and you are literally interviewing somebody about their story that you don't know very well yet, or something that they know really well that you don't know that much about, you can still do the same thing, can't you? You can kind of do like a, in fact, you've done, I remember you did this with your contact for Hostile Worlds, whereby, did you not talk to him for 20 minutes in advance? It wasn't the interview, but you kind of went through a few questions and found out some nice facts and stuff like that.
That's right, yeah.
And then sort based the interview on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that pre-interview helps you create the structure. You don't know the subject, but the pre-interview helps to bring out some of the really interesting bits. And then you go back and do the actual content gathering.
Yeah, just record the pre-interview, because sometimes you get the better stuff.
Get some good bits out of that. Yeah. Aye, but that could be a way to do a more exploratory one, one where you don't know it very well, but still end up having a 20, 30 minute recorded section, which actually still is quite easy to process because you have done that preparation, you've figured it all out, and then you've gone back and got the real sound bites.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is there one thing like, is there one sort of most important or one sort of trick that you've used in the past just to make sure that you do get, you know, that that good stuff?
Yeah, like going in there and sort of thinking to myself, like, what above all else, like, what's the 1 minute of audio I really need from this? So even if we talk for an hour, like, what could I go away satisfied that I've got for the final cut?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
And, you know, doing everything you can to get that minute of audio.
Yeah.
Even if it's literally telling the person.
Yeah.
I mean, again, you don't want to stick a script in front of them, there's a reason you're interviewing them, presumably.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you might have read a good quote from them in the paper or a magazine or seen them on telly or something like that. Yeah. You know something that they know and you're trying to draw that out of them.
Yeah. So, much better, arguably, to have that brilliant minute that you're going to use than just like an hour long pretty decent conversation.
Because
again, you've got to, you know, the reason you're doing a show like this is because you're going to chop things up and process it and present it in a certain way.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that 1 minute of audio or more, I mean, throughout the thing, throughout the piece, it can be, and this works anywhere, but it works particularly well in highly produced podcasts, and I think, is stories, like getting them to tell the stories as opposed to just getting the facts. So telling the story of, again, going back to our recent show, Hostile World, so getting somebody to tell the story of when they discovered something, how did they feel when they discovered the cryovolcanoes on Titan, or when they started to realize that there was, you know, hydrocarbon seas and stuff like that. Like, how does this feel? How did you, was there, what was the sort of feeling in your head when you imagined playing with this, or did you play it through, or even, you know, talking to somebody that actually went and did something, get them to tell the story of how it felt to do it.
Yeah.
That stuff works really well. It's really powerful, especially if you can get like nice and concise, get them to tell it once, get them to tell it again, and they'll do it shorter and better the second time.
Yeah.
So yeah, it can be worth, I think a story can be worth a lot of facts. Yeah. What about if, I mean, what if story, if they don't have a story for something?
I think, I'm trying to remember what podcast I heard this tip on. It was either How Sound or On the Wire, Out on the Wire.
Yeah, yeah.
Jessica
yeah.
Abel.
Yes.
Both great shows, especially if you're interested in this sort of like highly produced program making.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was on one of these podcasts where there was a tip about, it was somebody who was interviewing a lot of scientists, and these scientists, although they were very knowledgeable, didn't really have a very accessible way of making a point for story for the likes of you and I, you know, a pleb that's listening to it. So what the interviewer did was repeatedly gave these metaphors like, so what you're explaining there, is that like a bus full of school kids going to somewhere and this happens and that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the scientist's like, no, it's not like that at all. But he kept firing these like really rough metaphors until eventually the scientist went, okay, I'll tell you what it's like, and came up with his own. And then they used that in the program.
Yeah,
I'm sure it was on How Sound.
Right, okay.
Sure it was on there. Cool. But I thought that was good because if left to his own devices, the scientist, you know, was happy to talk the way he would talk to one of his clued up colleagues in the lab. Yeah, and that's, of course, no good if you're, like I say, making a story for the general population.
Yes.
So
Forcing
metaphors on people until they give you their own.
Even scientists that hate metaphors.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. I think that's I think that's some good stuff around how to plan for it, certainly. So just a wee interlude. We don't have a sponsor for this episode this time. No one willing to jump on the show this time, but I wanted to talk about our academy instead. So we're sponsored by ourselves.
Well, good. As good a sponsor as any. Do we do mattresses, socks, food hampers?
No, nor razors or all the other things. But yeah, the academy, if you're out there listening and you're thinking about doing a highly produced podcast or just launching a show, if you're just listening to this out of interest and you're actually at an earlier stage, you want to launch a show, you want to get something out there, then the academy is what we run. It's our membership site, basically, where you can come and get a range of courses. You can get live coaching from myself and Matthew. You get the forums where we've got a big community in there that chat away and podcasting all the time. And an example is, we're talking about interviews today. So we've got an interview course in there, don't we? Which shows how to do a more pro interview. And that's actually a guest course. That was one done by a friend of mine who is an ex-BBC interviewer, so loads of experience in doing this kind of stuff. So that's really interesting one, and improve your interview skills, how to get the best stuff out of people. But I mean, also we can obviously do the coaching on it. We've got our live calls every 2 weeks, so people can pop on, have a conversation with us and talk about how to put together a highly produced podcast. And of course, we've got your flagship Audacity editing course, don't we?
Yeah, when it comes to editing all together, That shows you how to do it.
So. Aye, indeed. From the start, like total basics, editing skills, right through to the really highly produced stuff that that you put into all your audio dramas and into Hostile Worlds and all the highly produced stuff we do. So if you want to look at that, go over to thepodcasthost.com/academy, thepodcasthost.com/academy. And if you had any questions about it, just get in touch. You can drop us a line through that page or tweet us on Twitter @thepodcasthost. So back to the highly produced podcasting interview skills. What about, you were talking about locations beforehand. Like what's important about location?
Yeah, it's the way it can impact an interview if the location is relevant to what they're talking about. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I was at this event in Glasgow a couple of years ago. It was like a radio production event. With these things, you know, they're a bit hit or miss, and yeah. most of the stuff was a bit boring. But there was one really good takeaway in one of the sessions where they were talking about making a program. It was somewhere down in England, and it was this village that existed, this small town or village, in quite a low-lying area of land. Mm-hmm. And for some reason or other, it was to do with floodplains and stuff. They basically moved everyone out of there over time and just flooded the place.
Okay.
So they created a lake with this like ex-village, if you like.
Yeah, yeah.
And then decades later, they... had a really warm summer and there was a drought and this lake dried out and exposed all these old buildings, which hadn't been seen for, you know, potentially something like 30 years. And the local radio station wanted to do a program about it. There was an old guy who lived there as a kid.
Yeah, sure.
And they went and got this old guy and took him down into the village for the first time in, you know, decades.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
walked round with him. And he described how it was, you know, when it was a habitation.
Yeah.
And they talked about how, like, he was talking them through this place and over there was the flower beds and over there was the butchers and stuff. But they said he was lost in his own memories. He wasn't talking to them anymore. He was purely, you know, and they said it made great content because it was just so visceral.
Yeah, yeah.
And if they had met him in his living room or in a cafe or got him into the studio, he would have still been passionate about that, but they wouldn't have achieved that level of, you know, description and passion that came through in his voice.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
if you're doing something that is location specific or if there's somewhere that's easy to take your interviewee, you can get that sort of thing. So an example again might be, you know, I interview a former footballer and if I'm able to get access to the stadium and we walk around the pitch and, you know, they're saying to me and over there, you know, that's the home support there and this area at the edge of the box, this is where I hit that shot in the Scottish Cup fourth round, you know, and getting them out there just to describe things to you, you're going to get like much better results. It's not always relevant and it's not always going to be possible, but it's a great tip, I think.
There's something around the whole, I mean, part of the concept of a highly produced podcast is a lot more layers to it, isn't there? It's not just one track you're going to be putting in, you know, often you'll be adding music, sound effects, stuff like that, but another layer is the atmosphere. It's the you know, you're interviewing somebody, not just like we are in a studio, so hopefully there's not a lot of background noise apart from, you know, dogs and cars next door, but, you know, there shouldn't be much in the way of atmosphere or actuality, they call it, the radio sometimes. But yeah, he's walking about that town and there'll be birds tweeting, there'll be maybe there's water lapping in the background because the lake's still close by where it used to flood it or something like that. And that, like, that adds a huge element of to the story, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And being able to sort of jump between the different atmospheres, like your football one as well. If you could interview somebody walking around the football park and then cut to ask them a few questions while there's a match going on, so you can hear the cheers of the crowd and the whistle going and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's like just a jump in. What is it? It's contrast, that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
And contrast is a huge factor in engagement, like contrasting cadence, contrasting speed of speech, contrasting type of person speaking, but the background, the atmosphere, the surroundings is a huge part of that contrast too. So yeah, I think that can work really well.
I think as well, there's something to be said for getting people to talk you through things in this sort of present tense.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Making them relive something.
Yeah.
Rather than saying this is how it was, instead they're saying, so I'm, you know, cutting in the inside here and I'm moving up here and then I see this and this happens.
Yeah.
Because I think with like these shows, with any kind of story, people like a story because they like to feel like they're living it.
Yeah.
So like you watch an action film because, you know, you feel yourself having the achievements of the protagonist.
Drawn into it, yeah.
So when you hear the unlikely hero story, you relate to the person and you feel like you're, you know, with a football story, you feel like you're that kid who loved football that went on to win a trophy.
Yeah, yeah.
You just want to go through the journey as that person.
Yes.
So just kind of making them, you know, describe it in the present tense can help with that.
Yeah, definitely. It's making it, it makes it a lot more active, doesn't it? It's the, like, what is it, the active tense versus passive tense? I'm not sure if that, I'm not an English graduate. I don't know if it's exactly, but that makes sense to me that it just feels more active. It feels more visceral, the fact that they're saying, yeah, here and now this exists, mm-hmm. as opposed to, oh, something that was gone years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Any last ones about stirring up that sort of more engaging sense around an interview?
No, I think I'd covered everything I wanted to, unless you had anything to add.
No, I think that's I think yeah, atmosphere, asking them sort of present tense, that sort of how do they feel, how do you sort of live through the story is a good way to make it more engaging, more, yeah, it just reached the listener more, I would say. So, mm-hmm. yeah. Okay, cool. I think let's tie up there. I think there's a couple of things, just last sort of action bits. I think one of the biggest things for me, just going back to what we were talking about in the first place, was it was that prep. So when you're preparing for the interview, the big difference for me, the one biggest change you can make is just having an idea of what you want the person to say. At least a few of them, like, let them explore, so let them come up with new stuff, but at least have that, like you say, that 1 minute that you need to get and coach them through it. Like, mm-hmm. don't be afraid to stop them and say, right, I love that bit. I don't think this bit works so well. We're wanting you to make you sound as good as possible on this show. So I think that happens when you say it this, this, and this. And don't give them, like you say, don't do it word for word, but, you know, coach them along and make them go back and repeat things and shorten things and make it concise. And mm-hmm. it's the advantage you have in making a highly produced podcast. It's why highly produced podcasts are so much better.
Yeah.
Even that kind of light version we talked about, you're editing them. You're doing a 30-minute interview down to 15 minutes. You're taking just their highlights. Mm-hmm. In this case, you're actually making them rephrase it and edit it themselves, which is even better. So, yeah, I'd say go away and try that at least on one interview, and that could work well. All righty. Anything else for the episode, Matthew?
I think that's all from us. One of the sort of final points, I guess, is just off the back of what you're saying there, is to remind them that, you know, it can be edited,
yeah,
and just
yeah.
to sort of take the nerves out of it.
Yeah, 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 absolutely.
Like, this isn't live on the radio,
yeah,
so because people do freeze up. But,
yeah, yeah.
And maybe the longer you speak to them, the more they'll kind of loosen up as well.
So. Yeah, totally. That's, practicing those answers, getting them to repeat something, do something again. Yeah, absolutely. And say, right, don't worry, we are it. That makes them aware that you're editing it, isn't it? It's not like a one shot. They don't have to get it right. And that probably makes them get it right because mm-hmm. they don't feel the pressure to get it right. So, yeah, cool. Alrighty. So this was episode 5 of series 8. Nine. This is series 9.
Yeah.
So you'll find the show notes for this episode over at podcraft.net/905. So you'll find all the resources here, a wee bit of a summary, breakdown of what's gone on, and you can go back and visit the previous episodes as well. If you go to that, show notes, 905, podcraft.net/905, you'll be able to link through to all the other ones in this season as well. Have a look through what we've covered. Otherwise, again, we'd love to see you over in the Academy. So if you fancy a bit more coaching around this, or even if you're just at the launch stage or anything like that, pop over to thepodcasthost.com/academy and check out our courses. You can get an idea of all the courses we've got there. Look at what's sort of involved in the live coaching, the community, all that kind of stuff. We'd love to see you there. Other than that, we'll talk to you on the next episode, I think. What have we got for them next time, Matthew? Do you remember?
We are going to talk about, as you quickly scroll through the using music.
Yeah.
And bringing other elements into the
sound effects and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, so that'll be interesting, actually. Good to get your opinions on that. You're an aficionado of music and sound effects for your drama days.
So I've heard, yeah.
So, yeah, we'll cover how to use music and sound effects and stuff like that, and all the other layers in your highly produced podcast on the next season. Next season? Next episode, even. Until then, we'll talk to you then. See you later.
Goodbye.